listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon that we've called for a lot of years, Raising the Standard, right, Pastor Don?
Amen.
And so we welcome and greet all of you people, wherever you are. If you're listening on the radio right now, maybe you're on the internet someplace watching or listening to the program on the internet. You can't watch it, but you can hear it. And so we'll be glad to do that with you and have you stay tuned in with us, we hope, for the entire hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. So we just praise the Lord for the opportunity to be here with all you listeners up and down the Treasure Coast and or wherever you may be. And I think about my wife's brother, he's in Australia. When he listens to it, he has to get up in the middle of the night and to listen to it. And of course, there they cross the date line, and also they're basically almost a day ahead of us and all that over there. But anyway, you can listen to it anywhere you're at and just get the right time at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, and you can listen to the program. So we greet you, we welcome you in the love of the Lord. And we know many of you are listening right now, listen week after week, and we thank you for that. But we'd also like to just keep you in mind, or thought in your mind, I should say, that this program's not free, and we have to pay for this. And so if God would speak to you while we do our teaching and all today about giving the offering to the ministry, well, we certainly appreciate that. And if you'd like to have that, had that privilege to do that, you can just make out a check to the ministry. Don and I co-pastor church here in Stuart, Florida. We have for 21 plus years, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Make the check out to that name. Send it to Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida. And the zip is 34995. And we would be honored to receive it. And God will honor you as well, because you'll be blessed in the ministry to help us continue to do what God's wanting us to do. So avail yourselves of that.
Give God the glory, amen.
And give Him all the glory. Yeah. We mention on the program all the time about the book that I wrote on the prophetic calendar, the pictures of the Messiah. We offer that for a love offering of $25 and maybe about $3 for shipping and handling. And you'll have all the appointed times, the historical events that happened, and also the prophetic implications of all of them to the days that we're in right now.
All the feasts of the Lord.
They're all there.
Plus Hanukkah.
Purim's in there. That's right.
And the last 2 days.
And the last two prophetic days is in that book.
Which includes Daniel and the book of Revelation.
That's right. It's all there. And we also have a supplement that we put in a few years ago. We've proven, you can reprove it in Luke chapter 1, verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 of that. I said that wrong. Luke chapter 1 and 2. You can prove the biblical dates of Yeshua's conception and also birth. His birth. And this is very important. We understand that. And so it's an eye-opener. And the more you find out about these things, the more you fall in love with the Lord, because He doesn't keep us in the dark, does He, Pastor Don? This word that we have before us, the Holy Bible.
It's living.
It's a living Bible. He's showing us everything from beginning to end. And he puts the good in, and he also puts in the bad, doesn't he?
He does.
He shows us all the things that we need to do and the things we need to stay away from.
And so it's warnings.
That's right.
Warnings and the truth. And also in the back of that book, I mean, we have a lot of charts also which go along with the different chapters. Mm-hmm. So you can study whatever you want to study. You want to study Passover? Also the calendar, which is the very first chapter.
That's very important.
We need to know the calendar. We need to know, be on the right calendar. We need to be on the Jewish calendar. We ought to be on the calendar that has the... It goes by the moon. Not that we worship the moon, but that's how God set it up. Mm-hmm. It went from one new moon to another new moon, you know. Passover's on a full moon. Mm-hmm. Different feasts are on different times of the year.
Trumpets comes
seasons.
On the first of the month, which is a new moon. Amen.
That's right. So all those things, and so when even he said we don't know the day or the hour.
That's right.
Because we don't know exactly when the new moon's going to appear.
That'll give you a clue.
For Rosh Hashanah, right?
That's right.
Anyways, that's some little tidbits.
That's
amen.
Right.
But also I wanted to mention, too, that people can listen to us on the internet. Just go to WCNO.com, and you can listen to this program. You can listen to other programs that we have for the last, I don't know, they have quite a few podcasts. You can go and listen to other programs. So
from
if
past.
You're driving down the road and you like what you're hearing, but you know you maybe you've missed part of it already, or maybe you will be missing part of it, you can go back and listen to it again on WCNO.com, which is a tremendous blessing. It's a 24-hour radio program and has many different teachers and music on there. And so we happen to be on the Saturday at 12 noon called Raising the Standard. So just look for Saturday, Raising the Standard, at 12 noon, and you can choose whatever you like to listen to. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So we are blessed to be here, Pastor Gene.
Yes, we are.
And I just want to mention that we have services here in Stuart, Florida. And I also want to thank all those who pray for us, too.
Amen. Well, a lot of people do.
A lot of people pray for us.
They call and tell us they do, yes.
And a lot of people come and visit the church, and many of the people that are in our fellowship come from this radio broadcast because they are interested in the end times. They're interested in the prophetic. See, God has a now word.
That's right.
A now word, which means a word for you now, if you're listening. He has a now word for you, and we can learn to hear from the voice of the Lord.
We're going to find out how somebody here can find out how to do that.
So we talk about how do you hear from the voice of the Lord. We teach people those things, and, you know, those things are taught and caught.
That's right.
You know, but we have to have the Holy Ghost. So we need the Holy Ghost to be able to hear the voice of the Lord, and we need to have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. And then, you know, God says he's going to direct us into
all truth. Not all some truth, all truth, he said, right?
So when we follow the leading of the Lord, we will be, we'll have peace, and we will, we won't be, you know, we'll have that peace of God that passes all understanding.
We won't be careful for anything. We'll be anxious.
No, and we won't be going around the mountain a million times, 100 times,
that's
50
right.
times, 10 times, you know, just one time. Let's just get the truth. Let's just go up to the top of the mountain and see what God wants to show us. Because you're not going to see what God wants to show you at the bottom of the mountain. You know, all those people that were at the bottom of the mountain, they got into lots of trouble. Only Moses was at the top of the mountain. He's the only one who saw and heard from the Lord. So, you know, and so we got
it. Passed it on.
But we are, you know, that was in the time, a different dispensation. We are priests and kings. And so God wants to show us and speak to us. And everyone can see and everyone can hear from the Lord if they just get on the right frequency, God's frequency, amen.
And we have to forbid people saying, well, you can't hear from God, because you can't hear from God.
That's right.
I think about myself. I would have never got born again if I hadn't heard from God.
That's right. And, of course, we prophesy over a lot of people, but, you know, you can hear from God for yourself.
Sure.
It's great to have a prophecy, you know, but if you have a prophecy and you don't take it seriously, then it's just another word that you received, and it could just sit on the shelf and get dusty. But what you have to do, you have to war over those prophecies. And
say, Lord,
seek the Lord, amen.
You say this about me, I'm going to receive it.
So we thank those who pray for us, and we want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey over there on Andros Island.
Yes.
And praise the Lord, we're just blessed to
be part
of this ministry,
right.
Temple of God. And so if you want to help get some blocks for the Temple of God, the building's going to go up. They've been in a tent for several years now.
That's right.
And
the walls are going
up,
hallelujah.
It's a nice tent, it's a solid tent, it's, you know, waterproof and all that stuff.
But it's starting to go.
They need a permanent place, a dwelling place, and so the blocks are coming in, and the building's going to be going up very shortly, and so, you know, we just need to help them and support them and help get those blocks, so you know, God is faithful. Amen.
If you'd like and to so send a check in, do
them.
It. Yeah.
He strengthened them to mm-hmm. do the work of the Lord, the apostle and prophet on the Andros Islands. So if the Lord lays it on your heart to
send them a check,
send them an offering and say, hey, I want to buy a, you know, what does it cost for a block? What did he tell us?
$3 or something per block. And then they have to pay duty to bring it into the Bahamas.
So that's a lot of money. Well, that's like right. $4 a block, whatever.
Know. Yeah.
I don't know what it costs to bring it over there. But, you know, it takes a lot of blocks to build a building.
Sure.
Amen.
But if you'd like to do that, just make out a check to our ministry, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, write on it. For what? Andros Island, or you could say the Temple of God. And
the
we'll
Temple
make sure
God.
That they
we'll
get every penny of it. For blocks.
Amen.
And
keep
they need
that
a lot
in prayer.
Of them.
Amen. They're touching a lot of people
they
over
sure
there.
Sure are. Hallelujah.
And they're bringing the prophetic word to Andros Island and
that's
the truth.
Right.
And all the pictures of the Messiah, the things about
that's
the
right.
Jewish roots, and you know
that's
all
right.
those things, you know.
They're stomping on the enemy over there up and down Conk Sound.
Amen. Conk Sound, that's the name of the road they're on.
Yeah, we love them
and,
very
you know,
much.
They have the property, they have the foundation. I mean, so it's
that's
just
right.
need to have the blocks need to start coming up. Amen.
Hallelujah.
It's
it
just
will.
Going to grow.
That's
praise
right.
God. One block at a time, right?
So every time we talk to them, I love listening to Roscoe. He's mm-hmm. so excited about it, but it's a lot of money. But he says God's going to take care of
but
it.
But you know, when you
he's
start
walking by
when
faith.
You start laying them and you start putting that whatever is it
that's
together,
right.
what is it? Concrete, stickers, whatever you do to stick them together, right?
Yeah.
And then as you see them coming up, boy, you're just going to. Wow, one more block, one more row. Wow, second row
right.
two. Wow,
it's
row
going
three.
Up.
It's
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The corner,
right.
the posts are going in and the,
going
the steel
in. Hallelujah.
And all that. And so it's just, you know, it just to see it happen, it just builds faith. Amen.
That's right. It's wonderful.
And so anyways, I want to just say thank you for that. I also want to mention we do have services here in Stuart, Florida at Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We have a Sunday morning service at 10 a.m. and we have Friday night service at 7 p.m. And that's our night to come and just spend the presence of the Lord and just seek God's presence and just spend that time on the Sabbath. And then we also, on Saturday, we have Bible school. But this Saturday, today, we have a video today at 4 o'clock. So if you'd like to see a video.
Something you can learn something
about the
our
Lord.
Walk with the Lord, about Him.
Mm-hmm. Come and we would do,
that's it.
And well, that will
this
be
is
at 4 o'clock.
O'clock. Mm-hmm.
So if you'd like to have information on how to get there, we're right here in Stuart, Florida, off of 95 exit 101, straight. We're on Canner Highway, which is the road you come in on. I'm going to give you our phone number, and you can give us a call. We can give you directions. Amen.
Amen.
Or you can just Google Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and it'll take you right to us. So my
real easy to get to.
Our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And we're in a plaza right next to Save a Lot Food Store.
That's right.
So don't look for a standing alone building. We're in a plaza.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory be to God. So we're glad to be here with you again this weekend, and we trust you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. And like we said, if you can't, we offer CDs and tapes. All you have to do is we ask for a love offering, whatever God tells you to give, and
mail amen.
To that address of Spirit of Prophecy Ministries.
Well, we're going to talk about Samuel today.
Amen. But I was thinking about this, you know, as we came on here. Don and I watched a video that a good brother of ours that's in our ministry brought a DVD in. If you've never watched Fiddler on the Roof, I've never seen it before. It's about
a musical.
Yeah, and it's all. But
it's old.
Yeah, but it's a story about the plight of
the Jews.
In Russia, probably around World War I, and what happened with them and all the things they went mm-hmm. through. And so it kind of stirs you up to see some things. And so we're probably going to show that 1 week or maybe part of it. It's a 3-hour movie,
yeah.
but it's a good one.
Well, you know, there's a lot worse things that have happened to the Jewish people, but
sure.
it does give you a
picture.
It's a story, you know,
right.
about a family and all,
right.
you know. And
it's not factual, but it's just.
And they had, well, I'm sure there were a lot of Jews that were told to move, to get
sure.
out. Take your stuff and be out of your house in 3 days. Well, they could pack up, what if they could pack up, what the important
yeah.
things, and take off on foot, you know. They didn't have automobiles
sure.
in those days just to take off. Most of them took off on foot.
Horses or pulling a wagon
or
whatever.
Wagon, a cart,
yeah.
and with little children, you know, it's a musical.
Sad.
It's a story and about the lives of a Jewish family, but you know, things like that happen.
But you think about that, and it just didn't happen in Russia. It happened. England did the same thing. Spain did it all over the world. Different
mm-hmm.
times that the Jews were expelled because they thought they were vermin. They were vermin, and they were causing all the problems in the world. Hitler thought the same thing.
And we're coming up to that date, when a lot of these things happened.
Starting in Tammuz, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Tammuz.
Those 21 days is terrible, so we'll talk about that when we get there. We'll be coming into the month of Tammuz, I think the end of that, our month right now, which is June, and we'll be going into
today
July.
We're going to talk about a special book.
About Samuel a little bit.
About Samuel.
But what got me stirred up with this a little bit this week, I get a publication from Israel every quarter, and it's from a teaching school over there, a teaching of Zion, and they have some interesting articles in there, and this month happened to be, I got it right here in front of me. I read most of the articles already. It was talking about the women in the Bible.
About women.
And the picture in the front, this must be Ruth. She was gleaning the fields of Boaz.
That's right.
And so I got thinking about, we're talking about the plight of the Jews. How about the plight of the women in the church today?
That's true. And you know, you think about it, and there's more women in the church than there are men.
In America especially.
I mean, in our church, there's a lot more women than there
are
men.
That's right.
And so, you know, what do you say? You know, a lot of women have
a call on their life.
They have a call on their
That's
life,
right.
Yes, and they suffer persecution.
That's right.
Not only from
the church,
but from their husbands or their families.
That's right.
You know, and they do have a call on their life, and that's something we need to recognize because, you know, if it weren't for a lot of the women in the Bible, there wouldn't be a lot of these men that took the rightful place.
And so we have this thought in the church today that women are not supposed to be in pulpits. And we get calls from once in a while, somebody says, you shouldn't be on this program with me teaching or anything.
Right.
And so it's because they misrepresented and misunderstood the scriptures, the historical things that happened, and the manners and the customs that were going on back in the days that Paul wrote and all that. And so it's hindered women. And so I kind of got a burden for it this week a little bit while I was reading these articles
right.
about the women. And so you think about some of the women in the Bible. You know that picture right there? That's Ruth. And I thought about this morning, Pastor Dunn, before I came. I looked up Ruth's name in the Hebrew. Listen to this, something worth seeing. Now remember, she was a Gentile. Now, Naomi's name means my joy. Of course, Boaz, his name means strength. So you think, just think about, this is a picture of the one new man, okay?
What got started on this was last week we started talking about our granddaughter,
That's
Abigail.
Right, about Abigail.
And some of the other names. And, you know, I think, we could talk about so many women. Look at Deborah.
Sure.
I mean, that man wouldn't go to war unless she went before him.
That's right.
You know, so to me, that just kind of blows my mind because it
That's
just
right.
doesn't make
she
sense.
She was a judge for 40 years.
Women are supposed to, you know, the men are the priests, and we follow our husbands as they follow the Lord. But, you know, even she had to go before the war, and look at Abigail. Abigail's, you know, David wanted, her husband should have provided those provisions, but, you know, Abigail did it. So look at these women that have done
stood
the will
and
of
done
God
the right thing. That's right.
And done the right thing no matter what somebody else might
and
think.
And how about all the women in the New Testament that were used, okay? Like I think about Priscilla. With her husband Aquila, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we see so many places where they were used. And so not all the churches that mm-hmm. way, but a lot of denominations, they are just like second-class citizens when it comes to doing ministry. Well, God called them, and I think I thought about this one. When Catherine Kuhlman was called, she told us on a program one time
right.
we watched years ago that God had asked two or three men to do what she was willing to do. So he left...
They refused,
so he asked her to do it, and she was willing to do it. Look at the work that she did for God, okay? So we have it. But I think about little Abigail in the Bible. You know, David was in a war and all that, and he was in need of supplies. And so he went to Nabal, which is Abigail's husband, and asked to help him out. And here he was, a wealthy man. He had all these cattle. He had everything.
Mm-hmm.
He could have supplied everything David had, but he refused to do it. And so in the nighttime, Abigail said, I'm going to do something. So she loaded up all the supplies on the donkeys and one of the camels and took it all out to King David.
That's right.
And David even listened to her, what she told him. And he honored that. Well, we find out that her husband's name is Nabal, and his name means a fool. So it tells you the whole thing about his life. He was a fool. And so when she got back after all, it appears he had a major heart attack and just dropped dead.
And Abigail's name means?
What?
Abigail's name.
I mentioned a moment. What's it mean again? I'll say it again. I wrote it. A cause of joy.
She caused
And
of
so
joy.
David was so impressed with her because of what mm-hmm. happened with her husband, so he took her to be one of his wives. It's incredible. And so here's another woman that stood up.
You know, took care of her. He
sure.
supplied for her. You know, she wasn't a poor woman, but her husband died. So, you know, I think about, you know, in today, in the church, there's mostly women. There's probably mostly women listening to this program right now.
Probably.
And, you know, intercessors, when you call for a prayer, intercessors, most of them are women. It's very few, very seldom do you find a strong man in the Lord. And praise God when you do, it's awesome. Or a really strong intercessor. Or really a man that will step out and lead in prayer.
That's
you know,
right.
You just don't, that's not the way it's meant to be. It shouldn't be that way. But why? I think women are more sensitive and more humble. A man really needs to come, when he comes to that place, he really needs to humble himself.
And realize there's nothing without the Lord.
And take away that pride.
That's
right. That pride. When a man truly humbles himself, then God can be used. Because you talked about Priscilla and Aquila. Well, some places in the Bible, it mentions his name first. Sometimes it mentions her name first.
That's right.
So, even with us, some people say Donna and Jean. Sometimes people say Jean and Donna. Just because I'm a female and you're a male doesn't make you more important than I am.
That's right.
We're both one in Messiah, in Yeshua. And so we are both ministers. So, so people need to have that mindset to know that, God calls women to do important things, and he calls men to too. So it's not what your sex is, if you're a male or a female. It's what the calling of your life is.
That's what Paul said, neither male nor female.
Right. So God doesn't call just men to be prophets. Well, Deborah is a good example.
Deborah
was a prophet. She was a prophetess. So he calls men and women. And so thank God for that we have these examples in the Bible to see.
Right.
Because there's a lot of places in churches, like you said, a woman is not allowed to go up and preach at the pulpit. She's just supposed to be in the kitchen.
Take care of the babies.
And change the diapers.
That's right.
All those things.
And have a women's meeting once in a while.
Right. So, but God has called men and women to actually, we consider ourselves a team.
That's right.
We're a team. We're an apostolic and prophetic team. And so, and God uses them both. And it says that the foundation, right.
Established on the apostles and prophets.
With Jesus Christ being the
chief cornerstone. That's right.
So that's like a foundation.
You got it.
So you don't actually, once you get the house built up, you don't see the foundation, but if you don't have the foundation, the house won't stand.
But we have to remember also, is God's never looked down on women.
That's right.
Men have done that, but God has never looked down on women.
That's right.
When he's got something he wants to have accomplished,
mm-hmm.
he may go to a man first, like he did with, mm-hmm. what happened with Catherine Kuhlman. But most of the men will probably refuse, but then he goes to the women. I thought about this. What would the church be like in America today if there was no women in the churches at all?
Wow.
It was just a bunch of men. You know what would happen? It would be so dead. It's dead enough now, a lot of areas, but it would be so dead because the women are doing almost everything. What would we have? What would we have without them? And the other interesting thing, we have so many wonderful teachers in the body of Christ that are female.
And
they've got so much to say and to express that God's put in their heart and taught them. Well, we need to glean from that. We talk about, we can't mature unless we have a full dimension from all five-fold ministries that we talk about all the time. That doesn't mean we're going to have one or be one, but think about it. We need a dimension from the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, and that's how we're going to mature and grow up. We need a dimension from all of them. If the church doesn't have that, well, they can bring someone that is an apostle or a prophet.
Every member brings in something to the body.
Absolutely.
So it's every member as well. If one member is removed, then it doesn't. You don't have the fullness that God wants us to have. But think about, you talk about being in America, but what about many of these countries, other countries? Women are not even...
That's right.
I mean,
They're just there to have babies. That's about it.
Or other things. But women aren't even, they're not even allowed to open up a Bible or a holy book, which they call a holy book. They're not allowed to do that.
Certain things, that's right.
Jesus came to liberate us, to free us. He says that to be free. So many women follow Jesus around as well as the men.
Everyone's administered to him.
There were women, yes, and there were women in the upper room. And there was women that ministers to Jesus in ways that the men didn't minister to him. The apostles didn't minister to him that way.
Didn't have the compassion that they needed.
That's right. So we got to have a different mindset, because if we were in some countries, we wouldn't be allowed to do what we're doing right
now.
That's
right. So we wonder, how did this happen in America especially? Well, it's because the church has taken a few scriptures that were written 2,000 years ago and don't fully understand the mannerisms and the customs and what was going on,
mm-hmm.
and telling women they can't do that. And I'm always reminded about over in 1 Corinthians 11, it says that women can could prophesy and pray as long as they had their head covered, because remember, they came out of that cult with a priestess and they'd shave their head, so they had to wait till the hair grew out and all that. But it said over there, if their heads were covered, they could what? Pray and prophesy even. Well, then
that's
you go
right.
to 1 Corinthians 14, says they got to shut up and they can't say anything. Well, they've taken all that out of context. And then over in 1 Timothy, the same thing. And so what's happened? We've basically just hamstrung women. They just can't do anything today because of the mentality that's there. But you know, I come against that in Jesus' name. I thank God the ministry that you and I are ordained in, Christian International Ministries with Bishop Hammond and all, and you know, he's been a prophet for years and years. When he ordained us, he doesn't ordain the man by himself or the woman. He ordains team ministry, the husband and the wife, and they're a team. Can two walk together unless they be agreed?
That's
we're
right.
both in this ministry together. We are co-equal. We have different anointings. Well, we know that, but we counterbalance each other, and that's what God wants, and that's the purpose of it. I think about Priscilla and Aquila again. Same thing. Okay.
Same thing.
And so it's a shame that this has happened with mm-hmm. women, but it hasn't. It's a mentality of the church, but I really believe something needs to change in that area. But thank God there's some groups in America, a lot of groups.
There are. A lot
that
of
are beginning
groups.
To realize that the women are very important. You know, I think about Joyce Meyer. I just saw her face. Here she is. She's a female. She's got some testimony in her life, but look how God is using her just with the average women in the church for them to grow up and mature and get through all the problems that they have and all that.
She's had a lot of problems herself, and she's not ashamed to say it.
No, sir.
You know, not everybody's going to like her, but you know what? She's ministering to a lot of people. Thousands and thousands of people come to her conferences. So, you know, God uses all of us in different ways. It doesn't mean we have to... You know, maybe it's not what we're attracted to, but you know what? God, we shouldn't be putting people down. We should just, if they're speaking the word in truth,
that's
then
right.
We should just thank the Lord that God's using people to draw others to Jesus Christ, amen, and to bring healing and deliverance. And women need a lot of healing and deliverance because a lot of women have been abused and hurt and rejected, you know, and even in families and divorced. And, so many in the church. That's why you see so many women. A lot of them are divorced women, you know, but they love God.
That's right.
Or they've lost their husband, or something's happened, or they've never been married. But you know, God wants to use a woman. He will,
sure
and we're
does.
Going to show this example of how he used a woman here in the Bible.
So you got to remember that. Excuse me. A lot of people, excuse me, judge how women look. You know. You know, somebody probably may don't like Joyce Meyer because she wears slacks. Well, what? You know, Samuel. Remember what Samuel told Saul and all that when Saul failed. He said, "I'm not looking at the outward appearance. I'm looking at the heart.
The heart.
The heart of that person. And women are important. They're so special. And I got one sitting across from the desk with me right now that I'm so proud of. And I've seen how she's come in the place she is with the Lord today. And I'll tell you, she's an example to the women today that you can stand up and do what God's called you to do.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So let's talk about Samuel.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord. We go over to 1 Samuel. Got a little bug here. Come out in a minute. Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus'
1 Samuel. Name. Remember, this was the beginning, in the very first chapter of 1 Samuel, mm-hmm. we know that there was a man by the name of Elkanah, and he had two wives, and the one, Hannah, didn't have any children.
No children.
And the other wife he had, we don't even really talk about it. I want to talk about Hannah. She had children, but Hannah did not. And so this is when they did their sacrificing all in Shiloh and all that. And whenever Hannah came up to the temple during that particular year, every year, she always wanted to give something to God. And we see here chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion," talking about her husband all, "for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had," what? "Shut up her womb." So her desire was that she would be what? That she would be fertile and she'd have some children. And so if we go on down here in chapter 1.
And it says the adversary. You know, the adversary is
right.
always there to
that's right, boy.
To come and cut you down, right?
That's right.
It says the adversary provoked her sore. So she was troubled.
So her adversary was what? Her husband's other wife, okay? So listen to this now. Verse 9 says, "So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli, the priest, sat upon the seat by a post of the temple," means, you know, a pillar of the Lord, "and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. So she said, I'm going to set him aside as a Nazarite.
She made a vow.
That's right. And verse 12, and it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. That means he was watching her mouth. Now listen to this. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. So she was praying to herself. Basically, it wasn't moving her lips. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? He accused her of being drunk. Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I poured out my soul before the Lord. And so she says in verse 16, count not thine handmaiden for a daughter of Belial, which would be of the devil, huh? For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaiden find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Amen? Now we go on down through here. Let's look at chapter, we're still in the same chapter.
Now you think about Eli. Yeah. Eli wasn't a very godly man.
No, he wasn't.
Okay.
No.
But see, even God will use even somebody like Eli. Because if you, as you go on, you read and you see what happened to Eli.
That's right.
But, you know, he was a glutton. He wasn't a godly man.
Didn't teach his sons like they should have been taught.
No.
Yeah.
No, but see, God used him, didn't he? Because
right.
He said to her, go in peace, and God, the God of Israel, grant thee thy petition.
That's right.
That thou hast asked of him. So God uses different people, even ungodly people, to speak
for his
a
purpose.
Word,
that's right.
Speak for us, for his purpose.
That's right.
God always, see, he happened to be the one that was there at the time.
That's
he
right.
saw her mouth moving. And so he didn't judge rightly because he didn't have the Spirit of God operating in him. But he spoke the word of a blessing to her.
That's right.
And then so, because, see, God honors his word. And also, God shows us, it shows us here that God will use anyone.
That's right. So she prayed to God. And so, if we look at verse 19, we see what happens now in chapter 1. And they rose up in the morning, who's that? Her and her husband, and his other wife, and worshiped before the Lord, and returned to their home, and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah's wife, means he had a relationship with her, and the Lord remembered her, and she got pregnant, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, and she bare a son, and called his name
Samuel.
And Samuel's name means ask of God, and also it means heard of God, because I have asked of him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. This is about 3 years. They nursed their children in Israel.
That's right.
And then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. Verse 24 now. And
so she's giving him to the... She's going to keep her vow.
That's right.
You know, there's a lot of people that make vows, but they don't keep them.
They wait.
They want the blessing of God, and then after they get it, they kind of they forget about it.
That's right.
But she God hears everything we say, and he knows everything we do. And so she kept that vow. And, you know, she may have even nursed that child longer than 3 years. Because in some places it shows that they did.
That's right.
You know, she knew when it was going to be the right time to give that child to the priest, because, you know, she would no longer be seeing that child every day and teaching him every day. So whatever she was to do and to teach him,
the priesthood had to take over, didn't it?
Right. They had to take over. But those formative years, what I'm getting to is those formative years.
Yeah.
You know, many people have a baby, and in 3 months or less, they're back to work, somebody else is taking care of that baby.
That's right.
But those formative years, people don't realize how important those first few years are. Even those first few days of a child's life, if a child isn't held, if the right things aren't done, then it can affect a child forever, a lifetime.
And the women nursed their babies in those days, so there's a real bond established between the baby and mom while they were nursing those 3 years. It's incredible.
That's right.
Something they really need. Now, verse 24 says this, and when she had weaned him, which is 3 years or a little more, took him up with her with three bullocks. See, she always brought something to the Lord when
always
she came.
Always brought something
and
to
one
the Lord.
Ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young.
Mm.
Now I'm going down to verse 28. Therefore, she says, Also, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. That word lent, L-A-N-T, in the King James with the understanding in the Hebrew, it means she granted her son to the Lord for the rest of his life. Isn't that incredible?
She took him to Eli.
Yeah, that's right. And if you go to chapter 2, now Hannah has this wonderful rejoicing and prayer that she prays in chapter 2, but we'll skip that for time's sake. And then we go over to, we're in chapter 2, verse 12, and it says, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial, and they knew not the Lord. So you read all this, and you find out that they did a bunch of things that God was not pleased with. Now we go down to verse 18 in chapter 2.
Before you go on there, we have to really think about Eli back here. Eli probably didn't even remember it. She had to tell him, you know, about what her, when he prayed, you know, when she said, you know, her soul was perplexed and all that. Right. And so, you know, Eli, even God had to use Eli to say, okay, I'll bring him in. He could have said, hey, go take your child and go home.
That's right.
You know, but even God moved on his heart to bring in the child. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, she says, I'm a woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. So she's telling this to Eli. And, you know, and therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. Mm-hmm. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord there. So, you know, Eli had to take a part in taking that child in and taking that responsibility. Yeah. to honor that, her request, and to know that what she spoke, because some people, a woman will speak and they'll say, oh, that's just in your mind, you know, or
right.
You're just emotional. Oh, you're just that, or you're just this. You know, he could, you know, that's how men think about women. But he received it as a word from the Lord.
That's right.
And he brought her in. You know, had he not brought her in, this whole story would never have taken place.
And yet later on we find out that even God spoke a judgment against Eli, you know. But again, God used him for this purpose at this time.
And God spoke it through the child,
sure.
Samuel.
That's right.
So but what I'm trying to say is, you know, a lot of men will say, or people will say, you know, she's just being emotional. She's, you know, she didn't really hear from the Lord. It's just her feelings, you know, all that.
Right.
So, but women do hear from the Lord, and thank God, you know, he believed the word of the Lord that came from her mouth, and he received the child.
That's right.
That he was sent from God. That he was petitioned of her from God, and that she did vow to give her child to lend him to the Lord.
That's right, and she did.
And she did.
Yeah. Now, chapter 2, verse 12 says this. Now, the sons, I want to read chapter 2, verse 11. And Elkanah went to Ramah, to his house, that's where he lived, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. So they left him in Shiloh, their son. They left him there, okay?
He left him, yeah. And he ministered before the
that's
Lord.
That's right.
As a young child.
And Eli was teaching him how to minister.
Now, and don't you think that his mother taught him how to minister?
Well, sure. I'm sure
when
she did.
When he was with her,
that's right.
At the breast. You
that's
know,
right.
He experienced her love for the Lord.
Amen.
as she held him, as she nursed him, as she fed him, took care of him.
You know,
it was instilled in him from his birth.
That's right.
How much love she had to the Lord. Because you imagine how she's sitting there. I can just being a woman and being a mother, you know, holding this child and thanking God. Oh, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful child, this gift you've given me. You know,
mm-hmm.
I will, he's yours. He's yours.
Yeah.
And this child had heard her say these words and talk to the Lord.
Maybe over and over and over.
Over and over again.
That's right.
So it instilled a love for the Lord. He knew who he was. He knew he had a destiny. You know, they say that you should even speak to the child that's in the womb.
The
child hears the voice. The child recognizes the mother's voice in the womb. And even the dad's voice. You know, now that they've done some different kinds of experiments, tests and all. But the child hears. They can hear.
That's
even
right.
In the womb.
Mm-hmm.
So to hearing this voice and hearing this voice of his mother, and just the impartation,
that's right,
that the love that she had for the Lord was imparted into him.
That's right.
Even when she was carrying him in the Lord in the womb, because even when she realized she was carrying a child, I'm sure she must have worshiped the Lord over and over again and laying her hands on her
that's
belly
right.
And thanking the Lord for this child. I'm sure the Lord gave her or the name, his name, Samuel.
Sure. Well, yeah.
Samuel.
That's right.
And what it means, you know, because he's a promise. And
he's heard of God.
Heard of God. God heard her. And so he has such an awesome thing. If you think about all the little details that came up even before she turned him over, she took him and she released him.
That's right. It's incredible.
Unto the Lord. Oh. You know, when you release something unto the Lord, it's not as difficult as having something pulled out of your hands.
Yeah, I thought about this morning too, Pastor. You know, women today, most women don't want to nurse their children. But you find the women that do, they will do the full term, like 2 or 3 years, like you did with both of our kids, and like our daughter's done the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's something, there's an impartation there that people don't realize, something very special in those children's lives. And
a bonding.
And there's a bonding like never before, and it's something that children need. But in a modern age, they don't want to do that. They want to go right back to work or whatever. Well, I'm going to skip this part about Eli's sons. You know, they got judged. But I want to go down to verse 18 now, chapter 2. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Listen to that.
Yeah, an ephod.
Now, let's look at verse 30 now. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, "The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan." This loan was basically, well, it's a gift, huh? From God, which is lent, which is granted to the Lord. And they went into their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. So she had 6 kids altogether after this. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Amen?
6 kids, counting him.
That's right, counting himself. All right, verse 26.
Didn't she also bring him an ephod each year?
Yep, we just read that.
Okay.
He was girded with a linen ephod. Verse 26 says, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Amen?
Mm-hmm. His mother made the little coat for him, says, and brought it to him from year to year.
That's right.
When she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. You know, she made him, I think about my sister, she likes to crochet. You know, as people do things like that, or sew something, like Margie in our church, she makes veils for people. As you're stitching that or sewing it, you're praying over that. And you know, what you're doing is you're putting an impartation on that piece of cloth, even though, you know, there's no power in the piece of cloth, but the prayer that goes into the cloth.
That's right.
And then she takes it up to him. She does this every year. Who knows how long it took her to do that, make that little coat. And she took it up to him every year. And, you know, her hands had been on every single part of that. She brought an impartation to that. You know, her love and her prayers went with that little coat that she made him every year.
That's right. Now, well, let's do this now. I'm going to go to chapter 3 now.
So our hands.
That's right. Are very important.
Are very important.
That's right.
The Bible's even in the New Testament talks about we'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. See, not only laying hands on the sick, but every place we go, we leave an imprint, right?
That's
We leave our fingerprint, okay? And so when we open a door, we bless the house that we're going into. We bless the house we're coming out of, the business, the store, the people we touch. You know, they may not realize it, but what we're leaving is we're leaving an imprint. You know, everywhere you put your hands, you're going to leave some kind of a fingerprint, right?
That's right.
But you're leaving it of the Spirit because it's a point of contact. It's a point of blessing, you know. And so she had this point of blessing through this material, through this cloth, this coat that she made him.
That's right. It's wonderful.
And so we need to realize that too, that, you know, our hands are instruments to worship God. Says the Bible says to what? Lift, we have clean hands.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Lift clean hands before the Lord.
That's right.
You know, we have holy hands, clean hands, pure. And so we want them to stay that way. So how do we do that? We have to follow after the Lord. And so everywhere we go, we can leave a blessing. And we can speak and lay hands on people and on even objects.
That's right. So praise God for that privilege. Even when we go and touch a doorknob, we're leaving an imprint of God there, aren't we?
Like when you give a gift, like these shawls that Margie makes. She prays over them and she gives the gift. Well, that gift keeps going. It keeps giving.
Does.
It keeps giving. It keeps giving. And when somebody wears it, they think about that person and they sense, you know, if they're sensitive to the things of the Spirit, they will sense those things of the Spirit, that God is blessing them.
That's right.
Through something that you may give somebody.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, as we read this still in chapter 2, we see there was a man of God sent to Eli, and he prophesied and told Eli what was going to happen to him because of his son. We're going to skip all that. I want to go to chapter 3 now. Listen to this. Verse 1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. See, he was there. Eli was teaching him. And the word of the Lord was what? Precious in those days. There was no open vision. Isn't that incredible?
No open vision.
And it says, and it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ear, the word ear in King James, E-R-E, just means before. And before the lamp
Eli,
of
God. It was getting old.
Yeah, and ear, or before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. This is very key. Before we read this, think about it. If it wasn't for Elkanah praying to God, wanting a son, we wouldn't have this.
You mean Hannah?
Elkanah said, well, he prayed too. He wanted her to have a child too. But anyway, with her praying and intercession and asking God over and over, so it might have been several years before this happened, we just think Samuel wouldn't have come. And so it's incredible how this woman was instrumental in bringing this wonderful child.
And she was desperate. The first year, the second year, the third year, by the 10th year you're married, I don't have any kids yet. Maybe you become desperate. Sometimes it takes a while before people become desperate.
Yeah. And then his first wife, well, then she was mocking her and making fun of her
She
went through a lot. All right. Now, so Samuel says, was laid down to sleep in chapter 3, verse 3. Let's go on now. And the Lord called Samuel and he answered, here I am. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I. For thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again. This is the second time for Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I call not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know that the Lord, neither was the word. Samuel did not know yet the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed what? Unto him.
He hadn't heard. He hadn't heard from
or
the Lord
understood
yet.
It, yeah. And the Lord called Samuel again, what, the third time. So we're going to see it's going to take four times altogether. Mm-hmm. And he arose and went to Eli again and said, here I am, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Well, we need that in our heart, don't we? So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at the other time. This is the fourth time. Samuel, Samuel. He called him by his name twice.
Twice.
Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Isn't that incredible?
And you know, this is a very good example of four. Four.
Four.
The witness of God is four.
That's it.
Amen. And so here, four times he called him, and this is the witness of God.
So for time's sake, I'm going to just go down to verse 19. Now we know he heard and all. And God told him what he was going to do with Eli's house and all that. But chapter 3, verse 19 says, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. And he listens, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Isn't that incredible?
So now,
all because of his mother.
And like he said, there hadn't been any open visions or prophetic things that had been happening.
That's right.
But now, this is the time for the prophet to rise up in the land.
That's right.
So they knew that God had established Samuel to be a prophet of the Lord.
But we're back to that vow that Hannah made with God. She promised if she could have a child, a son, she would make him a Nazarite, and she'd be willing to give him to the Lord for his whole life. And Samuel was probably one of the greatest prophets there was on the. We just read this. Mm-hmm. Not one thing he ever said fell to the ground.
Nothing.
What God told him,
nothing fell to the ground.
He was incredible. You know, I thought about
that. And
names.
He knew the voice. He recognized. He knew the voice of the Lord. Once you hear the voice of the Lord, then you should never doubt again.
That's right.
And it says in verse 21, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel. So he reveals himself, it says, by the word of the Lord. God spoke to him again. God reveals himself in many different ways, in many different ways. And
His mother's incredible, though.
Right, and I talk about that witness, number four. Well, God is not only now just speaking to one person, like Samuel, who was a prophet. The Bible says that we are priests and kings. God is wanting to speak to
all of us.
All of us. He's
That's
wanting
right.
to speak
born
to,
again.
He's even wanting to speak to the unbelievers, to the world.
Amen.
You know, had you not been saved, had he not spoken to you even before you were
We must hear some way, don't we? I heard the word, but we're still,
So he speaks to, he even speaks to unbelievers.
That's right.
Well, there's very many examples in the Bible where he's spoken to unbelievers. Even Eli, I wouldn't call Eli a very godly person.
Nope.
You know, even though, you know, he knew a lot of things, but he didn't live, his life wasn't that a priestly life. But
and teaches boys the right things.
But even I'm thinking about these four moons, these blood moons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God is one. He's speaking to the church.
That's right.
The church needs to wake up. He's speaking even to the world with these four blood moons. He's speaking to Israel. He's speaking to everyone. But many people don't see it. They don't believe it. They just don't. I don't understand. The devil has
eyes
blinded.
That's right.
You know, they just don't want to understand. But God speaks. It's the Bible says also that, you know, God speaks through the stars and the heavens and the sun and the moon.
The heavens speak all the time, yeah.
Right. And so, you know, this is the witness of four. And so, you know, God is wanting to speak to us. But, you know, he doesn't just speak to prophets like he did in these days. Now he'll speak to anyone
That's
who's
right.
listening.
We're kings and priests.
If we listen, you know, if we tune in to God's
Amen.
To the spirit, to the God's frequency, the God frequency,
mm-hmm.
we will be able to hear. And we were taught in the New Testament that, you know, God shows us things by visions, by dreams, by a word from the Lord. You know, God really hasn't changed.
Nope.
He did this in the Old Testament, but not everyone
mm-hmm.
saw, not everyone heard.
That's right.
But in today, when those who know Yeshua, we have the Holy Ghost. We have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. So we can all hear from the Lord.
That's right. But we got groups in the church today telling people that they can hear from God. They can't. Okay? They can't speak on God's behalf. Well, see, that's an error, isn't it? Huh?
It's an error.
That's right. I even think about Hannah's name. Her name means favor and grace.
Favor and grace. She found favor and grace.
And that's exactly what her name exactly shows you what her life was all about. And she was willing. Can you imagine a woman had I don't know how many years she went without a child. Can you imagine a woman wanted a child that bad? I think about us, you know, you wanted a child for 5 years before our daughter came and all that. Well, think about it, you know, how much you wanted that child. Can you imagine a woman, maybe it was longer than 5 years with her, we don't know. And then when she got that child, she promised God she'd give that child away. Can you imagine that? The heart that she must have had for God, you know?
To be able to give your child away and not even know if you're going to have another one.
That's right.
You know, another child can't replace one that's given away or one that's lost or one that
died. But she was willing to give that one away, so she had five more.
God blessed her.
That's right.
And she was able to see that child from year to year, and she was able to take. Even though she had five more children, I'm sure she was very busy. She made time to make that coat
Absolutely.
For him every year.
Yeah.
Every year, because she knew that was an impartation of part of her and the love that a child that's been given away, he could feel rejected.
That's
but
right.
He knew he wasn't rejected.
He knew what his mother
promised
God.
Even though he was a child of maybe three or four, when she took him there, you know. He knew he wasn't being rejected because I'm sure she said over and over
again.
She
explained it to him,
You are a child of God. You're going to live in the. You're going to Eli's house. You're going to go there and you're going to worship God. She told him you're a worshiper. You know you're a child of God, and so he believed everything his mother said because
That's
you
right.
know nothing that God had done with for her or anything she said nothing fell to the ground. So he believed.
That's right. But I keep thinking about this little word in the King James, but that she lent him to the Lord. When you think about the word lent, I always think about what? You're lending something that you're going to get back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it really meant she granted that to
I think she's saying he's mine.
That's right.
But I'm lending him to you.
I'm lending him to you for permanent, for the rest of his life. It makes it clear.
To the Lord.
So you think about it right now.
She gave
both of
to
them
the
passed
Lord.
Away now. So what? She's seeing him probably all the time now in glory. Amen.
Mm.
That's right. Well, anyway,
I'm sure they have a lot of stories to talk about.
That's right. So anyway, I just think
about
Samuel
her. Did some awesome things in his lifetime.
He sure did. He was an incredible prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just read that not one word that he ever spoke fell to the ground. Everything that he said came to pass. It's incredible. So that's a wonderful event.
He even spoke what was going to happen to Eli in
that's
his
right.
last days.
And he did about his two sons mm-hmm. and how they were going to die. And we know he was heavy. When the word came to him, he was sitting on his bench, and he fell over backwards and broke his neck. And his wife was pregnant at that time, and she mm-hmm. went into labor early. And so she died giving birth to that child, and that child's name was Ichabod, you know. God's presence had left. Mm-hmm. And
she even said it. She said, the glory of the Lord is departed from Israel.
Departed from Israel, that's right. So we see the wonderful things that Hannah was able to do because she loved God, and she knew that He was the only answer, and she wanted to have a child. And not just any child, she wanted to have a son.
A son.
And so God granted her a son, and because of her faithfulness and her love for God, He used her to allow this young boy to grow up and to be ministered to by the priest and the temple and all that. And he became a prophet that was established by the Lord, and all the work that he did all those years. It's incredible.
Imagine her prayers even as he grew up and some of the things that started to happen.
Yeah.
She saw how God used him.
Sure.
And you know how thankful she was, you know, because you know, not even none of her words fell to the ground, because as she prayed, she spoke those things that were good over
That's
her.
Right.
You know, I'm sure most parents speak things that are good over their children, or they should. We should always encourage our children and speak life. Speak those things
that
are good. We never should say, you're never going to amount to anything. And
that's
I'm sure a lot of kids have heard that, and
I'm
that's
sure
wrong.
They have to,
we should never say that, because in God's eyes, that's not how God sees people.
Absolutely.
Wow, praise God.
We're down to about 2.5, almost 3 minutes. But it's interesting. So don't get us wrong here thinking that the only purpose for women is to bring babies into the world, okay?
Well, I don't think the people think that.
God uses women and their children as well. But He wants to use, we've got so many wonderful women in the body of Christ today that teach. They're on television, they're on the radio,
mm-hmm.
and we need to hear them just as much as we need to hear from men.
Wow.
There's something about women, there's a sensitivity there that's just in their makeup, the way God created women. And men have to grow into that. It's difficult for men to grow into be that sensitive with the Lord.
To be humble
and to have that sensitivity mm-hmm. with the Lord. And so I thank God that we read this about Hannah. Amen.
Well, maybe
and about
next week
Abigail.
We'll talk about another lady in the Bible, another woman in the Bible.
There's lots of them.
There are lots of them.
There's lots of them that were used of God.
Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, and with Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and we're on every Saturday at 12 noon on the radio, and also on the internet, WCNO.com. So if you'd like to come and visit us at Sunday, we have church services here in Stuart, Florida. Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, right here in Stuart, Florida, on Cantor Highway in the Monterey Plaza. You can come, and that's at 10 o'clock. We also have services Friday night at 7 p.m., and on Saturday we have our Bible school at 4 in the afternoon.
This week we're showing a video.
Amen. We're showing a video today.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have worship arts class at 2 o'clock.
Amen.
So give us a call if you'd like more information, if you'd like a calendar, or if you want some information about the church, or some maybe perhaps information about the pictures of the Messiah, the commentary Pastor Gene has made. So I'm going to give our phone number here again. Area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007.
That's good. So as we close, I want you ladies to remember this. If you ladies are listening, Jesus loosed you women.
Amen.
To free you to accomplish what God would do in your life. And so thank God for the women that mm-hmm. ministered around the Lord and all that. So He's loosed you to go into that. There's neither male nor female. So
That's
as
right.
we close this program, we tell you to look up, because your redemption draws nigh. We know that. As we close every week, what do we say, Pastor Don?
Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord, and that He is the Spirit of Prophecy.